Welcome in, kingly brothers and hero husbands from around the planet. Welcome to a new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where every single thing we do, say, and express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Today's episode, we're talking about anger mastery. And it's like a topic of all topics for married men in the modern era. Nothing has been more revelatory in my own marriage transformation, and by extension, seeing guys around the world, cross-culturally, than coming home to owning the sacred expression of my own anger. There's pretty much nothing more transformational that I have experienced, and I see that for other guys. And I'd even go to the point where I would say, with great enthusiasm and passion, that your capacity to connect with your sacred anger is more important than your capacity to be trying to reconnect with your capacity to love. And that's within the marriage arena. Might seem like a very funny thing to say, but we're going to unpack that today in its entirety. The profound, revitalizing, rejuvenating unleasher of passion and enthusiasm. And it's the liberator of your authenticity. That is what anger is about. And yet, our relationship with our sacred anger, and like even the word, like I'm terming it sacred anger. I want you, like I'm going to drip feed it and then bit by bit throughout today's episode, just to reframe our collective relationship with anger as men. Because anger, culturally, over the generations, has got a severely bad rap. And as a result, modern men were caught with our balls in a vice. Like a sacred part of our masculine expression comes through the expression of anger. Yet, touch base with yourselves. You know, let's look where it all went wrong in some senses. I want to touch base with yourself. It's like, do you find yourself, and we, as I said, we're going to be going into this in depth, but do you find yourself caught with your woman where you experience anger? It's like anger comes up. You're pissed with her. She's after doing something or saying something, and you end up, you might semi-speak to it, but like for you, ultimately, for the sake of peace, you just go, oh yeah, like whatever. Or you don't completely ground yourself in your positive no, you let that go into frustration, where you walk away from a conversation, you go to sleep, then you know, you drive off to work, and the frustration in your mind is sort of like, you know, oh, fuck her, like she should have known better, etc., etc. You have frustration because of what she did and said, but you didn't have it set an absolute boundary. But then those waves of frustration build inside of you, and it becomes aggression. Aggression when every couple of weeks or a couple of months, you just outburst with an aggressive outpouring of language and energy, and you take your woman out of it. Because at that point, you're like, you're after experiencing so many waves of anger that was transformed into frustration that now becomes aggression, and you feel totally justified in your righteousness of, I can attack her now, I can name call her now, I can call her out and all of this bullshit because I've had enough. Does that tend to be your relationship with what you might call anger? If that is, well, I'm going to call that aggression. It's not anger and frustration. We're going to go into that, but I just want to touch base with you. Does that seem familiar to you, that you don't end up setting grounded, safe boundaries with your woman from that initial wave of anger? If you're nodding and saying yes, you're in good company. There's the vast majority, like in the high 90% percentile rate of husbands out there, relate with their anger that way. And you know, I touch base with you, does your woman struggle to receive your expression of anger, and your expression of anger might actually be more aggression. We'll be drawing the distinctions between those. Most guys will be nodding their head at this point, being radically honest, that their anger in the relationship is not really honored, and the woman gets like super reactive when you express anger and that. And where did it all go wrong in the sense of, you know, why does such a sacred, beautiful, natural emotion become so bastardized by modern society? I've spoken before about the Industrial Revolution. It's not all on that, but it definitely was a substantial historical event that has far-reaching, I would say, negative consequences, non-constructive consequences for men around the world and humanity at large. The Industrial Revolution, you know, men were ripped from the land. Policies were created that made it impossible for men to stay on the land where they had been for generations, and the generations, you know, the grandfather handed down to the father, to the son, blah, 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 blah. Like, there was a whole beautiful generational lineage of men, and masculinity was embodied and handed down. And part of that was the expression of anger. Like, an anger is like your core masculine power to sort of say, hey, this is who I am. Like, step back off. But the Industrial Revolution, I mean, those guys would have been severely pissed. Like, there was this entire life transformation forced upon them and their wives and their family. They were moved en masse to the cities. They didn't really have a choice in it. And when you start forcing life, massive life change on people, and it erodes a person's autonomy, the only way a person can submit to that type of change is by suppressing their anger. Like, if you remained angry for your entire life, I mean, well, you would die in anger. But if you suppress your anger and just go, okay, well, I have to work in the factories, the guys that thrived as much as they could within those circumstances were the guys that suppressed the anger. You know, they worked their ass off in the mines, in the factories, etc., etc., working ungodly hours at times, you know, with very little breaks, and there weren't very many humane conditions at the time. So they did it off the back of suppressing anger, suppressing their sacred warrior, no, this is not right, I'm going back up to my farm. They had no autonomy or sovereignty in that moment. So to suppress the anger, if you look at it, then generations coming after had to go through the First World War, the Second World War. I mean, there's been different wars in different countries, but, you know, the collective are the world wars. Then if you're in the States, obviously Vietnam, etc. There was young men enlisted, and again, they didn't have a right to say no. Like, your sovereign autonomous capacity to say no from your sacred anger is in, like, I don't agree with this war, I don't want to do this, I don't believe in this mission, was not allowed. Again, the only way to do it was to suppress your no. So collectively, generations upon generations of men, the only ones that so-called succeeded were the ones that adapted to the enforced conditions that were put upon the men of the day. The ones that made it in the army and got out the far side, the ones that made it through the world wars, the ones that, you know, made it through generations beyond the Industrial Revolution, they embraced the new economy that was built around a lack of sovereignty of men. But the ones that succeeded suppressed the anger and just went, okay, well, if this is the conditions, I'm going to go with it. Which, there is a power in that, but the major cause was a suppression of anger. You couldn't rebel against the economic machine that was being put upon us, and the social restructuring to support complete, you know, capitalism, the economy in non-stop growth, etc., etc. There's no bastardizing, I suppose, of society. It is what it is. What happened, happened. I just want to get to the mechanism of how we fucked up our relationship with our sacred anger. Very quickly, what happens, mothers at the time were alienated from their men. They were sort of like, men worked, they drove the economy, women stayed at home. But they didn't have any masculine support, so they were in total alienation. From there, with the husband working and having no support, slowly but surely, and this like happened over years and then generations, women started resenting masculinity. And it's like subconsciously, you know, they knew that the husband didn't have any other option, but at the same time, there was a resentment because it just was like, yeah, he goes and he works and he comes home. And a lot of times, because the guys were suppressing so much anger, so much of their authenticity, they would drink, you know, on the way home. And they just weren't very helpful around the house because they had their ass worked almost like slaves in the mines and factories, etc. They didn't have any like primal energy when they came home, so they weren't very giving when they got home, sexually or in parenting or around the house. So it was all on the woman. So in a fucked up social restructuring, women feeling so alienated started resenting masculinity, and anger was wrong. Anger became wrong in the eyes of women because, you know, the men coming home, I mean, they wouldn't have had a lot of energy left and patience to do the stuff at home, and they probably would have got quite angry at being for more being asked of them at that point. So you can see how, you know, the guy coming home not feeling seen or listened to, heard or understood or safe, like, and his a massive amount of energy being outlaid, being validated, he would have got quite angry and pissed off and a bit more aggressive with his woman if he was challenged. So there was this masculine, feminine, male, female sort of disconnection that happened. Again, this all happened because social forces, economic forces at the top had made new policies and forced them upon populations en masse. This was really, really destructive. We're still feeling the full negative consequences of these changes happening. What happened at that time, I've spoken to it before, but it's very important to just build in the intergenerational momentum of trauma that we have individually and collectively inherited. This is going back generations. You know, your incapacity to feel a full, sacred, absolute permission to express your anger in the moment and set a boundary, you're dealing with generations upon generations, literally over 100, 140, 50 years of generations coming towards you that have incapacitated you in allowing yourself relate with anger being sacred. What happened was these women back at the Industrial Revolution times, but it has been generations since, because predominantly, I know it has shifted in the last 20, 25 years, women are now working, but there's still that momentum of the generations gone by where the men were at work, the women were at home. So boys were reared by predominantly a feminine presence, and they were getting, you know, their teachings on masculinity through the feminine lens. And the feminine lens at the time was not very, they didn't hold masculinity, the masculine core of men, in a very high esteem because of the disconnection that was forced upon them. So anger, which is quite simply, the expression of anger is your only capacity to recognize what is not right for you and what is true for you. Anger is a boundary setting emotion. It's a beautiful, sacred emotion. But anger for these women for generations, no right or wrong, like a full empathy for the position women were put in. There again, it's just understanding in an objective black and white way the mechanism of where our screwed up dysfunctional relationship with anger began. They started frowning upon anger. You know, it's like anger, they related anger to you're being like your father, you're being like men, like don't be a bold boy. And it became this good boy, bad boy sort of split. The good boy did what mommy said because she had enough on her plate. And if you were a good boy, you got all the attachment needs. You got all the praise, you got all the love, you got the hugs, you got the support. But if you were a bad boy, and a lot of times the bad boy was when when the boy would just be angry and say, no, like, no, I'm not doing that, or I'm not coming in, or I'm not. He was saying sort of a yes to his sovereignty, to his desire to express more, his desire to sing, to dance, to be boisterous, to be a boy, you know, to be a boy, to have cock and balls and testosterone flowing through him. That was not allowed by these women. So the boys who grew into men that got along and thrived within the constraints of the social system at the time, well, all of those social constraints included their mother's perception of men. And the boys that thrived were the ones that suppressed their anger and went, okay, mom. And they played by the rules. Again, the suppression of anger. And with the suppression of anger, there's the suppression of your authenticity for the sake of having attachment needs with the mother. Because your dad isn't around. You don't have the attachment needs of the dad to counterbalance this. It was totally imbalanced. You had to get your attachment needs, and we have a deep emotional, absolute need for attachment needs. You got it from your mother, but you got it by sacrificing our dads and our granddads and our great granddads before us. They met their attachment needs, no right or wrong. They did what they had to do as young boys. They got their attachment needs met by sacrificing the vast majority of the time their anger and thus their full authentic expression. This all leads into modern day ourselves. You know, if no anger is allowed, then there's no authentic you allowed. And have you found that you wittingly or unwittingly have a very moral approach to anger? As in, is there a part of you that feels or believes that, you know, anger is wrong? Forget about the distinction between frustration and aggression. We'll clarify that in much greater depth and detail. But in general, just getting radically honest with yourself, do you feel that you have, you know, this right or wrong approach to anger, that anger somehow is wrong? And if anger is wrong, you know, you're wrong. And that there's an emotion of shame. That if you ever, do you ever find that whenever you do, again, I'm playing with the distinction, but in the beginning, you just get super angry with your woman. Do you ever feel yourself feeling bad, feeling guilty afterwards? Do you ever find yourself apologizing? It's like, oh, just, you know, sorry for getting angry. You're saying sorry for the anger. You're saying sorry for this sacred expression coming through you, but you're doing it in a way. Again, it's very often, if you're saying sorry for it, 99.999% of the time, if you are apologizing for your expression of anger, it's more than likely an expression of aggression. The distinction is enormously important. If you're apologizing for your anger, if you end up feeling guilty or bad or just a sense of regret in you, it's like, oh, Jesus, like just the argument last night, like, I mean, you know, it happened again. 99.99% of the time, you haven't expressed the anger with the first wave. It has been a stockpile of frustration that you kept as latent energy, and then they exploded as aggression and anger. But if you're nodding to yourself, going, "Yeah, that pattern. Like I don't express the first wave of anger. I get frustrated. First experience, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, fifth, sixth, seventh. Man, it could be going like waves over 10 years of marriage, 20 years, 30 years of marriage. It's like, yeah, it periodically explodes. If you can relate with that." That there's some part of you feels unable to just own it. In the first wave, your woman says or does something, your expression of anger in the moment goes, yeah, I don't agree with that. If you find yourself holding back on that first expression at the first wave where your nervous system, your emotional guidance tells you, this is not right by me. The way she's speaking, the way she's behaving, it's not right by me. I will speak to it. I will set a definite boundary. If you're like the vast majority of guys and you end up a lot of the time predominantly suppressing that or not speaking to it fully to a way that's satisfying for you, where you can feel, yeah, I was grounded there. She understands. That's just, I will not tolerate that thing being said or that type of behavior. If you find yourself nodding and saying yes, that yeah, that feels like my pattern. Well, there is a definite link of a moral perspective on anger, that there's some part of you that has been made believe and conditioned to believe that it's wrong to express anger. And that emotion is shame. It's like, oh, if I do this, I'm wrong. I'm inherently wrong as a person if I just allow this, I allow anger to take me and to express from there. You know, my question to you, again, it's like to keep this as intimate as possible and just to really go deep on this. You know, the theory of this, 5 minutes flat, it's done. But the most important thing, you know, it's to get embodied, experiential, an embodied experiential journey during these episodes. That's why it's just take it slow, deepen, layer by layer, deep. You know, it's like you're in front of me and I'm having a chat and then I ask you the questions. Like, okay, well, I've said what I've said, but now my question to you, sir, is, and I invite you to really sit with it and let the truth of this emerge. You know, if you ask yourself, do you have any memories of your own mother saying to you, you know, hey, Tommy, don't be angry. Don't be getting angry with me. Or variations of that. Do you have any memories of your mother with you or maybe with your brothers, you know, saying that? It's like, oh, he got angry again. Go up to your room. Have a, you know, reflect upon how you're after being with mommy. There can be tons of variations of that. Most guys, when you slow down, you'd be like, yeah, actually, my mom never really liked me being angry. Like, you know, do you have any memories of just saying no to your mother? It's like, oh, go off up to bed now. It's like, no, mother. And then you express your need. It's like, no, mother, I'm not. I have a need to stay up and listen to music a bit longer. How receptive to your sacred no was your mother? Was your mother sort of respectful and like, oh, okay, so you're saying no. So you clearly, you have a different need that I have not anticipated. So what's that need? Did she ever get curious as to why you were saying no? Why, you know, why were you setting this boundary? Or was it, I don't care about your no, get up to bed. I don't care about your need to self-express and sing and dance. It's like, I need quiet. I need some silence in this house now. I've had a long day at work. Be quiet. You know, was your sacred no received and honored as a boy growing up with your mother? Again, the vast majority of guys, I would say 100%. I've yet to... Some guys struggle with the memory initially because there can be this total... Their mother was the total love and light of their world. But it's when you slow down and you just marinate in the topic and then memories come back of, oh, actually, yeah, I remember that time. The thing about it is when you start playing the good boy role, it's like the Mr. Nice Guy persona. The episode with Robert Glover, who wrote No More Mr. Nice Guy, is the most listened to episode of the podcast thus far. I think twice as many listens have went on that one topic. That's how many men are playing the Mr. Nice Guy role. And the Mr. Nice Guy role is characterized by a profound lack of connection with your anger. The Mr. Nice Guy role is, I'm nice all the time. I'm never angry. I'm never upset. I'm nice, nice, nice. I'm listening. I'm understanding. I'm here for you. That's how you relate with your wife. But the Mr. Nice Guy persona that was all formed in how you were relating with your mother. So if so many guys, 80, 85% of modern men, I'd say actually probably the 100% of us, have some unconstructive way of relating to the feminine that we learned with our mothers, and the vast majority of times it's a lack of felt permission that we can be angry, that it's right and wrong. With that sort of self-reflective portion of the podcast, of the conversation done, you know, hey, feel free to knock off if like you were like one of the unique guys that I have yet to meet and you're like, man, you know, my mother was amazing. She honored every single expression of my anger. She got super curious every single time I said no. She didn't just, you know, bombard me with her perspective because like her, like it was her way or the highway. No, she honored me every single time, and I actually, you know, came to be really grounded and rooted in my fully integrated masculine expression and being. You know, I'm totally at comfort and ease of meeting my full authentic expression and my attachment needs. It's like, man, if that's you, send me an email. You can become my coach. I want to learn from you. it's not really going to happen. Of course, there's going to be a spectrum. Maybe you mightn't resonate completely. But at the same time, if you have a struggle in life, in general as a man, in owning your shit in the world, in getting what you want, in getting out into the universe, penetrating it with your sexual energy, being able to, you know, powerfully in a grounded way say no to any obstacles, to any bullshit. You've really high standards, you've zero tolerance of crap, of people that pretend to, you know, push you around, to push their agendas on you. If you have any issues, you know, in your groundedness and your confidence in the world in getting and manifesting what you want, you can be guaranteed that there's an issue with anger underneath it all. Some guys in deep work were like, oh, I've no issue with anger. You know, I say no and I'm just happy. You know, it's like, I'm just not angry. Very often, and this is very important to just make this link, going into the depth and breadth of this, I remember coaching a guy once, and it was a real revelatory moment. You know, he was like, I was actually trying, it was before I got into deep men's work, so I would have definitely had way more tact and capacity to support the guy connecting with the anger at the time. But I remember questioning him. You know, he was a real, I'm just a happy-go-lucky guy, married for 25 years, etc., etc., and you know, he's, it came to the surface, like there's just no anger. I was asking about, you know, childhood memories, and his dad was super abusive, an alcoholic. He came back super aggressive. You know, he had bet family members, and he just was a really as toxic a father figure as you could be. You know, kind of an empathy. He went through his own shit, undoubtedly. But for this guy growing up, this was what he was observing in his dad, his sacred masculine lineage and a model of masculinity. So one would assume it's like, man, you'd want to be pissed with that guy. You'd want to have some anger. No. This guy was super sweet and super nice and never angry. And he was like, Mark, I just think you're searching for something. It's not there. You know, it's like I've nothing but love for my dad, nothing for love. I love people in the office. I love my wife. I love. I'm just like, I prefer to come from the light, you know. There's a major link with anger, your capacity to express anger, and your capacity to express sexual passion. So this can be another thing I want to touch base with you. It can be another major marker that you mightn't, there might be so much defense mechanisms and so much minimizing and normalizing by your persona that you could be listening in going, oh, I don't really have an issue with anger. No. Like, I'm good with that. You know, I just don't get angry. Well, I'm just using this guy as an example because I just, in coaching, you get to talk with people. Some people just I have these examples that come to memory. Some people embodied it to such an extremely obvious nature that I just remember. It's like the moment in my experience as a coach, it dropped in and go, wow, this is a pattern I need to look out for. He was so disconnected from his anger. It was like it just was not there. Yet I went on to speak to him. It's like, okay, so you've no real issue with anger. You don't want to work with that. He's like, yeah, no, I feel good. Thanks anyway. He didn't even get angry with me, working there. There was just zero there. So, okay. Then I questioned about his sex life. He was very satisfied with his sex life. But then in the question, how would your wife rate your sex life? And he went quiet. In essence, he had a disastrous sex life. There was no love making. It was intermittent at best. It was like pretty much a sexless marriage. His wife was deeply sexually frustrated. But the link was there, and I will never forget it. He had zero connection with his anger. On some levels, his full natural warrior expression would have been, he would have had a rage with his dad. He would have been like, no fucking way. It was absolutely catastrophic how my dad, like, he fucking had no right to do that, blah, blah, blah. He had zero, zero. And he had zero expression in his life as a man. There was nobody at work he was angry with, nobody. He just was like happy-go-lucky. He's like, that's just how I am. But with that persona, with zero anger expression, anger and passion are, it's like, that's why we call it red hot anger, red hot passion. It's very close in the neurocircuitry in the brain. The anger centers, sort of, you can oversimplify that to say that there's just one center. There's not, it's not that simple, but there's the where anger and passion show up. If there's a core center of them, they're very close together. That's actually why, here's a neurophysiological note on porn. That's why porn producers have intuitively and probably studied it. They bring a lot of aggression into the acted out lovemaking scenes, the sex scenes, because if you activate the aggressive part, the anger part, along with the passion, the lovemaking, it releases a more potent experience for people looking at it, and makes it more addictive. Again, just self-reflect. You mightn't resonate with anger being an issue for you, but how's your love life? Do you feel, strong and sexually energized? Do you have like a deep connection with your cock energy, your ball energy, your sexual energy? Like you walk around, do you walk around in a way, sort of like a stallion? If you've ever seen a stallion walk around, or like in documentaries, you'll see the male, like a male lion. There's a poise and a strength. It's like they're testosterone enriched and invigorated in the moment, but they walk in a different way. And like, do you speak with a voice that is like commanding, but commanding in a sense of, I'm here, I count, I am enough. When I speak, I speak in a way that I know I'm respecting myself so much that others respect me and I get what I want in life. Doesn't mean that you have to be trans over people, but you just get what you want in life because you know you can't. Do you have that sort of a sexual expression? Do you have sexual expression in the bedroom where, you have unapologetic desires, but you take your woman, you claim your woman sexually, and she's turned on by you. She's turned on by your sexual expression. Do you have that in your life, in your marriage with your woman? Again, if you don't, I can pretty much guarantee you, without speaking with you directly, there's a major disconnection from your expression of anger. So if we went through the depths of it, like, and really going down in deep, I imagine, you powerful, amazing guys that really lean into each episode and you're stacking the awareness and the self-reflective, just inner world awarenesses each episode to episode. But I imagine a lot of you are sort of nodding on the inside going, yeah, a lot of what is said thus far is like I'm resonating with it, some parts more than others, or maybe the whole lot is like, man, you're just writing my autobiography. One other part of the autobiographical thing that I want to speak to is, and it's key as well, have you any memories of, which your dad's expression, I've spoken to the intergenerational that we inherited, but from your first-hand experience, there's one thing reflecting on your experience of your mother and her relationship and her teachings and perspective on your anger. But what perspective on your dad's anger did you take? Did you ever find yourself looking at your dad and going like, I'll never be like him. I never express anger like my dad. Maybe your dad was maybe hyper aggressive. Maybe when he just exploded intermittently, or maybe he was super aggressive all the time. And your mother, you felt your mother feared him a lot, and maybe you feared him. So a lot of the times men can have memories, whereas boys, they were like, I'm never going to do that to my woman. I'm never going to become like my dad. Again, there's a moral part. His aggression, you linked with anger. So you made anger wrong, not aggression wrong. Do you have any memories of like formulating beliefs as a young boy like that? Again, it's super important to get real with that. And other times, maybe you saw him super frustrated. Maybe he never expressed anger. Maybe he never got aggressive. But you saw him whitewashed. You saw him walked over. You saw him as being like maybe spineless. Might sound like a provocatively... like not a nice way to relate to your dad, but maybe that's true. Maybe you just related and you got really pissed off and annoyed, and you might have formed a perspective where, man, he wasn't aggressive at all. He was walked over. He needed to have his voice heard more often, and he just put up and shut up, minimize and normalize in the background. My mom run the show till his dying days. Maybe your dad is dead and gone. Maybe your mother just ruled the roost, wore the trousers, and you took on this belief of, well, I'll never let myself be shut up. We can go to the opposite of what our dad's relationship with anger was. And if our dad was totally frustrated, but he just put up and shut up, we can go to the opposite end and get more aggressive with our anger. We're just like an intolerant no to everything, and we won't take any shit from a woman. But that's not safe. It gets aggressive. There's a load of our frustration looking on at our dads that we take into a relationship. You could have a relationship with anger. You could be listening to the first half of this episode going, no man, I speak my shit, I speak it straight. How safe does your woman feel around you is the key thing. Does she receive your no? Does she feel respected? Does she feel seen, heard, and safe as you're doing that? That's a key, key question. Perspectives of how we related with our dad's anger. Let's break this down. I want you to go away with a real key distinction. One of the key, most important intentions I have is that every single one of you can draw upon a key distinction between anger, frustration, and aggression. One key thing here is, like, I have formed these distinctions myself in what I have seen work incredibly for myself in my marriage. I had a fucked up, complete Mr. Nice Guy persona that I supposedly never got angry. I built up frustration 24/7 for weeks, months, and indeed years. And it came out in aggressive outbursts when I just couldn't take any more and I'd fucking let her have it. And I'd have a cycle of feeling deep remorse, regret, guilt, etc., etc. And I'd be saying, oh, you know, sorry about last night. Resentfully saying, you know, the next morning, hey, sorry, like that was just out of, that was just totally out of context, that was totally wrong. Like, I won't do it again. But the I won't do it again would be a good intention in the period of remorse. But I had the cycle. I get angry, wouldn't express the first wave, would transform that into the unexpressed anger, became frustration. I would form a library, or I'd have a bank vault of all this frustration, and it would again no matter what about the Mr. Nice Guy good intentions during remorse, I'd get to the point where she'd supposedly piss me off that much to where I just unleash it and feel totally validated, justified and righteous in that moment. And again, to wake up the next morning, the next day or a couple of hours after the argument, feeling remorseful, feeling resentful, setting intentions that I'd never do it again. This is what I have found works for me. You might, I'm not a Daniel Goleman of, I didn't write emotional intelligence. There can be different definitions out there of anger, of aggression, of frustration. Part of my authentic truth coming through here is like, whatever those definitions are, they can work within a system. If they seem to be different or contradict what I'm saying here, hey, cool. That's just a different perspective. I'm giving you what works for me. And from the feedback of guys I coach, guys love it when it's broken down like this. So it's like, I'm not saying there's an absolute truth, but I'm gifting you what will really work. So frustration, anger, and aggression. I wanted you to think and put this image in your head. Anger is the shield. Think if you've seen 300, the film 300, you know, Spartan warriors, or just think of whatever warriors, could be Braveheart, whatever. There's, you know, the old style warriors had a shield. The shield represents your anger. The spear that the Spartan warrior has, that represents aggression. And frustration is represented by paper cuts. And it sounds ridiculous, but paper cuts, it's not like a spear. It's not going to kill you. But paper cuts happening again and again and again and again, I mean, they're nasty buggers. They're actually, for how small they seem, they're quite severe in the pain that it causes. So frustration is a paper cut. I'm going to go with the frustration, like, to an in-depth description, well, a concise in-depth description of frustration, then aggression, because as I say, like, most of you will be caught in creating your bank vault of unexpressed anger, which is your frustration, and then it comes up intermittently like with volcanic force. Once the pressure builds, it gets like a volcano and it erupts like aggression. Or some of you have you're just hyper aggressive all the time, wherever you're coming from. So frustration, I define frustration as the emotional state resulting from one or more episodes of unexpressed anger. So frustration, again, it's like you feel that you're pissed off in the moment she said or done something, you don't fully express it or you suppress it completely. That transforms anger into frustration. It's that held back bank vault of negative emotion, frustration. It's against your woman. It's an emotional feeling that you're against her. You'll feel frustration. You know, the language or the thinking of frustration is sort of victimhood. Touch base with yourself. Do you ever find yourself going beyond a conversation, a conflict, an argument with your woman, where you're thinking thoughts like, I can't believe she can't get there by herself. Like, there's this feeling she should just fucking know that speaking like that and acting like that, that's just bullshit. But she should get it. I shouldn't even have to tell her. It's that obvious. Do you ever find that sort of thinking or that sort of language coming through you? Man, you wouldn't believe what she did to me. Do you ever find yourself in your informal men's groups, sort of just having a bitch about, you know, what she said or what she did, or you're just feeling incredulous within yourself? I can't believe she said that to me. I can't believe she did that to me. She should know better. Again, it's, you're putting it on her. She should have a moral core to, like, that she knows exactly what's right and wrong by you. She should fucking get there by itself. It's common sense. But again, you haven't set the boundary to her. You haven't told her the common sense. She should just be there by herself. You get very judgmental in your frustrated state. You get very judgmental on the inside. that she just doesn't fucking know by herself. And then frustration, it's like, it's fucking obvious that dad was disrespectful, hurtful to me. And then there's off-topic resentment. Frustration will come out where, you know, you're just so frustrated with her on that topic that she doesn't get your authentic self, your truth, what makes you happy, and she should just like understand all of that. That you just get a bit resentful off topic, like, you know, she didn't let you, supposedly in your mind, she didn't let you go off for, you know, for to do a course, you know, there wasn't money, supposedly by her perspective, or she didn't think, you know, the big investment in the training course or that personal development course, whatever, you know, for you was appropriate. But then, you know, a month later, she's going off on a weekend where there's this healing retreat and she really, really wants to go on it. And you're there going, there's resentment. It's like, no, you're not going. But the resentment is, it's just on a different topic, different day. Might seem vaguely the same topic, but you would actually let her go. You would have no purpose to say no. But the only reason you're saying no to this new opportunity, or she wants to go out and get a new outfit for, you know, going off to a wedding at the weekend or something, you just get resentful because she didn't give you the permission by your victimhood story. Your energy of frustration is like, no, there's not enough money. No, that's useless. No, I wouldn't go spending money on that. There's an off-topic resentment because of this stockpile of frustration. Frustration, another metaphor for anger unexpressed, like, if you don't catch it in the first wave, then more episodes happen and frustration builds. So one wave, then another episode, there's two waves, another episode, there's three waves of energy. And if you keep adding waves and you don't express the anger, you transform it into frustration. What are you building? You're building a tsunami. And what is the tsunami? Aggression. Probably got there by yourself. Remember, the frustration is the paper cuts. You're doing this often. And when you go off with a frustrated energy, emotionally, it's paper cuts for your woman's emotional system. She knows that you haven't, she knows you were pissed with her in the moment. She challenged you with her perspective, but you didn't hold your ground. So she kept with her perspective, and she might go off pretty often going, hey, like, well, it obviously wasn't that important to him because I told him my perspective and like I said no, and I like whatever, it might have been a messy first draft of how I said it, but like ultimately he agreed with me in the end, or like he went off. But she will get that you're pissed. She will get your frustration. She will get your off-topic resentment. That's paper cuts for her trust with you. She doesn't feel safe around you. She sees it in your eyes, she feels your tone of voice, etc. And progressively, she's looking at you going, man, he's just sort of pissy with me. Or all of a sudden, he can be pissy with me. There's just this feel of energy that she's not feeling safe with. That's paper cuts. And the paper cuts erode her trust off you. And ultimately, it erodes her respect of you. Two things, respect and trust, are probably the two things that guys want the most when they come coaching with me. Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. It's like most guys coming in, it's like, I want to feel trusted by her. I want to feel that I want her to respect me. If you're stockpiling frustration, not expressing your anger, she can't feel respect and trust for you because she knows there's all this latent energy that's going to attack her later on. It's going to bring her down. She can't trust and respect you from there. Aggression is the spear. So you've built up all this frustration. Most guys will resonate with that. It's like there's anger. You don't fully express it. Maybe you semi-express it, but you don't like nail it and just ground in your truth. You go, for the sake of peace, I just like, just get over this argument for now. It's like, just that's, I need to get on with my day. I need to get on to work. You're having an argument at the weekend. It's like, man, I just want to fucking relax this evening. All right. Okay. Whatever. Okay, honey. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with your perspective, whatever. So you build this frustration. It comes out as aggression. So often, and aggression is the spear. Aggression is not like the shield, because a spear, when you use a spear, you're out to hurt. You're out to go over the boundaries of the other person with a spear. You're on the offense and the attack. You literally have the intention to hurt them. That is aggression. And if we ever get into a moral argument about this, like, there's never one time when a guy has been coached by me, or there's one time in my own marriage with my beautiful queen, that aggression is justifiable. There's an absolute intolerable, non-negotiable no as a part of my relationship with my beautiful queen now, where aggressive expression from myself or my queen, when I've learned to own my anger and not get into full frustration and not get have these volcanic tsunami like outbursts that were totally catastrophic on an emotional level for my woman and for my kids. Same thing was happening with them. Frustration, explosion, aggressive outburst. It's a non-negotiable boundary. We do not do that. It's like, it just does not happen anymore. And if it's not that it doesn't happen anymore. If it does happen, there again, anger, the shield comes up. Aggression is not tolerated at all. It's so toxic, poisonous, and corrosive within a relationship. And like, in this, I want to bake in safety for you. I mean, this is a major topic. It's at the core of most marriages. This is an issue. If you try and, you know, the nice guy persona can often try and transform a marriage by bringing the nice shit. Oh, I love her more. I'll affirm her more. I'll hug her more. I'll kiss her more. I'll be nicer. I'll spend way more time around her. But she's not trusting you. And she's actually getting more and more pissed off with you as your marriage goes on. You wouldn't believe, like, the amount of guys, and you might believe it because you've heard your own versions of it. I say this to actually let you know, it's like, you're not alone. The amount of guys that have said to me, like, in first conversations, it's like, man, you know, just last week, she just didn't want me home. She doesn't want me anymore. She's like, guys telling me, it's like, oh, she's told me. She's like, she doesn't even feel she wants me around the place anymore. Like, we're staying in the same house, we're married, but it's just, it's gone to that level. It's like, I don't know what to do. These guys, I'm bringing all the nice shit. She wants your anger, guys, but she doesn't want aggression. She doesn't want frustration. She doesn't want the paper cuts, and she doesn't want a spear. How you can recognize aggression from a language perspective and a thinking perspective. I want to bring, like, inform your superpower of your rational mind. A lot of us men, we have like an incredibly sharp rational mind. We cut the feeling and emotional part early on, so we sharpen up. We've been sharpening up. By nature, nurture, trauma or not, our rational mind is super sharp. So I want to empower your rational mind, and I'm doing it for this reason. When you can recognize these thoughts or this language coming through you, I want you to set an if then. If I notice myself thinking like this or talking like this, I fucking stop. Then I stop. You just do not tolerate this type of expression. I'll be giving you and empowering you with new ways with the anger, but I just, you know, with the frustration language and thinking and the aggression typical language and thinking, I want you to take note. So you can notice in the moment when these, preferably when it's at a thinking level, you're thinking like that, just don't speak to it. And if you do speak to it, then once you become aware, stop. Your rational mind can become a really potent, essential ally in you transforming your marriage. This is what Marriage Transformation Here is 2023 is going to be about. It's supporting guys to get so amazingly aware on the level of thinking, on the level of emotional state, on the level, you know, that you can recognize in the moment before you've blurted out in conversation and used your sacred creative tool of speech, you can get at your level of story, your thinking and your state, your emotions, and catch it there before you destroy trust. When you can catch it and then speak safely, which is anger, which is the shield, man, there's nothing that's a higher leverage, trust-building, respect-inducing force than you expressing your anger in a safe and direct way for your woman to enjoy hearing who you truly are coming through. She wants to know who your full authentic self is. And that can only come true through a radically safe expression of anger. But it can't be frustration, and it definitely cannot be, she will not receive your truth if you speak it aggressively, because you've got to the point that you're that fucking pissed off that you're like, hey, I'm not taking this shit anymore. I'm going to go to that conference, or I'm going to hire whatever, the new person in the company. I'm going to go off with the guys at the weekend. Whatever is your thing, she's not going to receive that truth. Aggressively stated to her. She might resentfully agree to it, but like, she's going to hate you. She's not going to trust you, respect you, and she's going to block off her beautiful heart from loving you until she feels totally safe. So aggression is the spear. It's attack mode. The language thinking. You had this coming by being such an asshole all this time. You know, it's like there's total judgment. You're name calling her. Again, you're putting it on. There's total, you feel so validated in it. That's the dangerous part. And here's the thing. And I wanted you to touch base and be really honest with yourself. Again, no more Mr. Nice Guy bullshit of like, no, I don't feel like that. Don't, like, be fucking honest with yourself in this. Do you ever find yourself that when what I'm defining as an aggressive outburst, like it's the emotion that offensively attacks when you perceive a woman being like the wrongdoer, she's wrong, you're right. Do you ever feel like some omnipresent, incredible universal power in you? It's like you feel unstoppable in those moments. When you have all that energy coming through you, she's wrong, you're right, you're just letting her, you're letting her have it. Is there like some addictive level of immense power that you feel in that moment? Like you feel so scintillatingly unstoppable and powerful in that moment of your expression. It's, you know, it's you, like there's a part of you believes it's wrong, but in that moment it's sensational. It's almost, there's a sense of beauty in it. There's such confidence, there's such absoluteness that you're finally going, I'm having my voice heard. Do you ever feel that intoxicating nature of aggression when it finally comes through you? Again, some guys, that they're so moral and it's like, oh no, I don't feel that. But like, to be honest, when you hold space and you're in a safe space, like Marriage Transformation Heroes will be, and like you start noting, like, actually it's not just me, every guy, okay? And you start hearing other guys going, man, yeah, I like, that's what catches me. That's where I just go into a zone where I can rage and be aggressive for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, man. I can stay there for fucking ages. I could have like almost hours of an argument with her from there. Because when I finally get there, it's like I'm just finally fucking telling her. I'm finally standing up for myself. So it feels amazing. Most guys resonate with that. They're like, yeah, it just feels intoxicating. It's like I can't stop it. It actually feels good. We might feel awkward with admitting it feels good, but the undeniable inner world embodied experience is, it just feels scintillating to just fucking unleash and speak my truth. It's just so unconstructive when it's expressed like that, but in the moment it feels good. That's why we keep going back to it. More thinking is like, you're not fucking serious talking about this shit again. You're attacking that she's bringing up the topic again. You're attacking, you're making her wrong. And then there's the other one, and this can seem subtle, but it's like, I'm so angry with you right now. The language and thinking of aggression is, I am angry. It takes over, it monopolizes your entire being. I'm angry now. Literally, when you state, I'm angry now. I'm so fucking angry with you. It's a literal subconscious trigger to your woman that he's nothing but anger. There's no objective awareness in him that there's the anger and there's him. No, he's just total anger. It's very unsafe. It will trigger her. When you speak, I'm angry, it's monopolizing your entire nervous system. It literally, it's like a magical incantation. I'm totally angry. It's very hard for you to find a new perspective or to get curious about what you mightn't have understood about your woman, or to just land your anger in a safe way, your boundary in a safe way. So frustration, paper cuts, not good. Aggression is the spear. You're out to offensively attack her personhood. You're trampling over her boundaries of personhood. It's not good. Both of these states of expression eradicates any capacity for your woman to feel a natural sense of trust of you as a man, and she will definitely not respect you. And where there's no respect and no trust, and it's eroding over the years, she's going to close her heart off to you. And a lot of you guys are feeling this, I know, and it's hurtful. It happened to me with my wife, where she didn't respect me, didn't trust me. She was going through this repeated cycle of me building up frustration and then just aggressive attack every couple of weeks, every couple of months. And boy, it would be fucking hard, hard shit. She had to close down her nervous system to me. She couldn't love me openly anymore. It wasn't safe. Now to the core part, anger. Anger is the shield. Now, a shield can be a big badass thing. It can only hurt a person if the person pretends to steamroll you and butt through you, to have zero respect for your boundaries. Anger can seem to hurt the other person, but it's a shield. It will only hurt another person if they are pretending that they can aggressively disrespect the boundary you're setting. If you say a grounded no, we'll go through, there's three phases to it, but if you say a grounded no, and somebody is like, ah, but, you know, I'm going to do this anyway, I'm saying, and you remain grounded in your no, might be the first time, and this is like, I want to speak to this, hear me on this, because some of you guys, you potent, powerful, amazing guys, most of you, I imagine all of you that are repeatedly coming back, you're trying your own style of implementing this in your marriage with your woman. You can feel super pumped, you can have radical clarity, you know, after an episode like this. I know guys have had their first coaching session with me, they've radical clarity on this topic, and like, they go out and it's like, okay, I'm going to start setting boundaries now. Boom. They come back in deflated in the second episode, the second session, because they're like, oh, she didn't receive it. Man, it could be the first time, probably is for most of you, that if you practice this and you just say a grounded no, you're unapologetic, you're just not going to, you're not going to attack her like aggression. You're not going to go to frustration, which is retreat mode. You're not going to retreat for the sake of peace. It's like, this is important to you. Your anger, you're honoring the first wave and you say no. It could be the first time in 10, 20 years that she's heard you say a grounded no and you're refusing to budge. And yeah, it is important always to acknowledge your wife has her own wounds as well. And again, she's grown up probably witnessing not very constructive, helpful, trauma-informed expressions of anger from her dad or stepdad to her mom. So she has her own wounds of, I'm not going to take this shit anymore. So the first challenge that you set her, and I actually encourage you to start looking at it that way. In rebalancing this, there's a challenge that's needed to be set to your woman. But the challenge is to yourself ultimately, which is, I'm going to be grounded in my no. And it might shock her. She might feel the first time or the first couple of times, because you mightn't practice it perfectly the first time, and that's okay. There might be a little bit of, you know, frustration seeping in, and you might feel a little bit afraid to set such a boundary because you might feel afraid that, like with your mother years ago, subconsciously, most guys will resonate that they might feel afraid that if I just say no, she'll stop loving me. she'll actually leave me. If I ground in my heels, maybe it'll just end a relationship. Again, we our deepest fear in marriage, which paralyzes us completely and creates such a horrible marriage situation, is we hold back our authentic truth to make sure that the attachment needs are maintained at all costs. That is not the pattern of a man. That is not the pattern of a powerful husband. That's the pattern of a boy who learned that as a technique which was super creative and super clever and super amazing to navigate super complicated emotional, psychological environments and relationship factors with his parents growing up. That was super creative, good and constructive to get you through as a boy, super unconstructive and downright repulsive to your wife, looking at you as her divine king, as her husband. She's looking for the godliness in you. So just a bit of context there. It might seem like your anger and your groundedness in saying a powerful positive no hurts her. That's just like the momentum of her nervous system getting up to speed that finally her powerful kingly husband is has found his cock and balls and his masculine core, and he's willing to do whatever is necessary to ground in and just say no, enough is enough. What's the best way to go at that? I'm going to lean into the wisdom before. And by the way, I've done episodes on this early on. This is just a newer episode, just to take into account amazing new listeners around the world. And repetition is mastery. We have to keep coming back to it. And also, I'm constantly reflecting upon this. So as I get new metaphors, new ways of describing it and teaching, speaking to it, I need to bring the fresh, good shit to you. I love the framework that the author, I think it's William Ury. I needed to check this before, but I think it's William Ury, Ury, if I remember well, is the author of The Power of a Positive No. I'm going to speak, I want to just nod and bow to his framework. He puts it as a yes, no, yes. The yes is the roots, the no is the thick, unstoppable, unapologetic trunk of the oak tree, and then the branches into the leaves and the fruit of the tree, well, that's your yes, the second yes. The first yes, and this is key about what anger is about. Anger is not against in the sense of like aggression to spear. Anger does not go out to attack the other person. It's not against the other person having a perspective. You know, this is the revelation about anger. Anger is not about, you know, a need to prove your woman is wrong in her perspective. Anger, more importantly, when you've every single time you experience anger, that first wave, what's so essential to reframe from anger being something that's wrong and bad, oh, I don't want to be against my woman, I don't want to, you know, that's aggression. Anger, when your nervous system, your emotional guidance system gives you, gifts you the experience of felt anger, that's letting you know what you are for, who you are. It's letting you know there's some part of your authentic expression, your authentic self, that is not being honored in the moment. And it needs to be spoken up for. So the boundary is to say no, but it's like you're saying yes to your authentic self. You're saying yes to some deep need inside of you. You have a need for, you know, respectful communication. Like, give that as an example. It's like, I have a need for respectful language when we speak together. And that can be an inner yes. You know, when you get up to speed with this, or you could do lots of journaling, what are my needs? You know, you can come to know I have these needs as a man. Very often, Mr. Nice Guy, we disconnect with having any needs as you lean into this. But anger in the moment, even if you haven't done a lot of self-reflective wisdom on this, or work on this, anger in the moment will let you know there's some authentic need you have that in that moment is not being honored. So you're saying yes. Anger is helping you say yes to some level of your authenticity in the moment that needs to have a boundary set. Your no, that's your verbal part. And it landed like a shield. You're not attacking her perspective. You don't go with like, I have to say no because it's fucking bullshit what you're saying. You don't take her perspective down. You don't disrespect her. That's just showing that you're feeling stupendously weak in yourself. When we're coming from weakness, we get aggressive. Because we're like, if I don't take her energy down, if I don't take the wind out of her sails, I'm not powerful enough in myself to just be grounded in me. So your no is a powerful, direct, but positive no. You're grounded in your being. Fake it till you make it. Just ground yourself in. Imagine you have every single guy, like there's hundreds of guys around the planet now, as I say, 500-600 listeners every single week. Imagine you have 500 or 600 powerful, heroic husbands around the planet, energetically standing there with you, behind you. Imagine they're behind you. I did this in the beginning, actually. Like, I really suggest this as a practice. It works so well. If you can have loving guys that you can imagine their faces, or energetically you're just like every single guy in the Beat a Husband She Brags About movement. They're all powerful men. They're just like me. They're with me. Mark is with me. It's like I am okay to say no to when I'm being disrespected, to say no to things my woman says to me or does to me or behaves around me. I'm allowed to say no. I'm allowed. It's okay. I don't have to fear that my marriage will collapse. I don't have to fear that if she denies her love, if she has a look on her face like she's disgusted with me momentarily, you know, there's going to be a period of shock where she's like trying to get up to speed. It's like, oh my, she's feeling your force. She's feeling your power. You know, in those moments where, you know, her facial expression, her tone of voice, she might get defensive. She might get offensive. She mightn't receive the no immediately. You're okay. You're loved and accepted by a growing global brotherhood of heroic, amazing husbands listening in. And like, if they were there, they'd be like, you go, man. You ground in. You're like a leader for other guys. By you practicing this, you're adding to the collective momentum of this movement of amazing husbands around the planet. You have that energetic support. You are not alone. So ground in and say your no. I did not like what you just said or what you just did. Say your no. It's grounded. You're like the trunk of the tree. You're immovable. And the yes is important. Again, you're baking in safety for your woman. Your no is a shield. It's saying yes to your authenticity. It's saying yes to sacred needs. But you're not against her. The second yes is, in this example of, hey, you know, I have a need for respectful language when we speak together. That's your first yes, an inner yes. You might literally speak that to her. You say, no, I did not like what you just said. Do not say that again. The yes is coming back to, hey, I'm curious to know and to understand more about your perspective, so long as respectful language is used. You're not steamrolling her perspective. It's not aggressive. It's not the aggression anger which steamrolls, which gets lost in this righteous, totally hyper-validated, justified sense of just attack her whole personhood, attack her perspective, it's all bullshit. No. Anger, you have set the boundary, the shield is up. It's like you're saying an absolute no to disrespectful language. You're saying a no to her disrespectfully communicating or behaving around you in what you perceive as being disrespectful behavior. But the yes is, hey, here's the criteria where this conversation can continue. You know, I don't want that language to be used. I'm non-negotiable in that perspective. Name calling, calling me cunt, calling me like a limp dick lover, you know, you could be having a lover stiff. Whatever it is, you just say, I'm an absolute no to that. Like, from now on, I'm an absolute non-negotiable no to disrespectful language. What has become the precedent and has become the set norm in this relationship, I'm a no to that. That is not allowed. I'm not going to permit that going forward. But hey, I do want to connect with you, my beautiful woman. I do want to know behind the name calling, what's really live for you? Is there some part that I have yet to understand? I'm saying a no in this part of the conversation, but I'm curious to connect and to know more of your perspective if I haven't understood some part of your needs, of your expression, and hence you're attacking me. I really want to know what your authentic self has to say on this. But it's with a simultaneous absolute no to disrespectful language. That's one example of a yes, no, yes. You say yes to your authentic self, to your sacred needs in the moment. That's your birthright to say yes to that. No matter what pattern you learn early on, you've got to say yes to your authentic self. Why? Because your woman wants to know your authentic self, but she wants to meet your authentic self safely. This is the key point. To let you know, my beautiful queen, Matilda, despite 12, 13 years of me withholding my authentic self, saying yes to fucking everything, having a million no's, like my anger would come up, I would suppress it, I would know that I was an absolute no to certain things she was doing, certain things she was buying, certain decisions she was making, the way she was speaking to me, etc., etc. I was like, it's an absolute no. But I would go to the frustration and then explode in aggressive outbursts, attacking her completely, taking her down. It has been a revelation for my beautiful queen to witness me owning my anger with every wave that it comes up. I want you to know this. Wounded, she was obliterated emotionally by hyper-aggressive primary caretakers. Her mother. She's starting a podcast now coming up about a daughter of a narcissistic mother, I think is the final name she's settling on. It was horrific what she experienced. So she had had a super sensitive response in her nervous system when anybody is in any way aggressive with her. But the same nervous system, no matter what her wounds are, and I speak this to you, because maybe you might have like a super dysfunctional way of relating with your anger, and there's a lot of dysfunction. Your woman isn't trusting, isn't respecting you, isn't feeling safe around you as that. So your woman's nervous system could be super sensitive from her previous wounds and from what she has witnessed in you up until now. That's okay. But the power of the glorious, beautiful medicine of the feminine nervous system in your woman is this. When you truly own your anger expression in the first wave, and she might test it, because a woman will test it to see, is it real? She doesn't want it to be aggressive. When she feels you're safe, you're not attacking her, that you're truly responding to the first wave of anger, you know that you're using that as grounding in your authentic self, what's true for you, an unexpressed need has come into your awareness. You're saying a no, but you're not aggressively attacking her, making her wrong. And then there's a yes beyond that where you're like, hey, you know, I'm an absolute no to that part of your behavior or that part of how you're speaking. You're clear. That's what I'm saying no to. But there's a door open where you're like, hey, let's keep connected, but without that part. I'm curious about your authentic self. Or I want to tell you no. It could be totally new to her. It's like, hey, I want to tell you no, tell you more about why you know, I haven't been expressing my need on this topic to you. I've got frustrated in the past, but finally, honey, I need to let you know. I need to gift you an awareness that this is really that important to me. You know, I need to go on that trip, or I need to have time to myself, or I need to have... I can pretty much guarantee you that with practice and with true intention on your behalf to make sure you do not let any aggressive thinking or talking come through you. You're not looking at her aggressively. It's like, oh, Mark, you know, I expressed my anger, but she didn't trust me anyway. It's like, well, how was your face? How was your tone of voice? Was the aggression and the pent up frustration expressed through your tone of voice? Were you feeling hard? You know, at this point, like, you can get to the point, and like, this is going to be a core part of Marriage Transformation Heroes. That journey, a lot of it is going to be about how you can emotionally master allowing your authentic self come true, but experiencing that in a way that your body is soft. You've, in men's work, we say you've a strong spine, soft front. You know, the strong spine, like, you're there, you're rooted, you're saying no, but your front is soft. Your voice is assertive, but it's grounded. It's safe to listen to. Your eyes are direct. You're holding contact with her, but your eyes are soft. That's anger. Like, there's intensity. There's a fire burning in your eyes. Anger is intense. I'm not trying to have this as a hyper rational experience where you're like, hey, you know, this is my yes, this is my no, this is my yes. She won't believe you on that. You're allowing anger fuel you, but it's energizing you to ground in your yes to your authentic self, say your unapologetic no, and open up the door for more connection with both of you going forward, so long as the no is respected and honored. Your woman will love you for this. Her nervous system will feel safe around you like never before. She will start relating and loving your anger because she will know, oh, I get to learn something new about my husband each time in a safe way. She will learn to go, oh, well, hold on. She'll start getting curious about your unmet needs. She'll want to know you. The most meaningful marriage for a woman is a deep, intimate marriage. Remember, intimacy. Into me, you see. Anger is the first door that we need to open in a safe way to truly let them have an into me, you see experience. Because why? Anger is the doorway that allows our authentic expression to come true. The authentic truth of our being that we locked away so many years ago. No right or wrong. It was a creative thing that you did as a child. It's just not what works for marriage. Your marriage will die if you don't get good at expressing anger in a safe way, because your marriage will die. You die as a man on your inside. And that's why your woman starts just not trusting you, not respecting you, not loving you. She's progressively actually repulsed by you. Because your true self, you're not feeling alive. If your authentic self is not being honored, if your deepest needs on all levels in your life as a man are not being honored and expressed because you're afraid of anger, you have this moral thing with anger, I will not express anger, you're not going to feel passionate. You're not going to feel alive. Your sex life will be limp at best. You will end up having a sexless marriage, as so many marriages are going to, because your vital force, your life force, your authentic self is not there. And if it's not there, your woman is not, she knows, she has had windows, maybe early on, she has pockets of where your authentic self comes through, but with her, it's not coming true. And she'll resent that too. Maybe your authentic self comes through at work, maybe comes through at the sporting club. You're gifting your passionate self to other people, but not with her. She hates that. That's horrible for her. So, in all of this, guys, this is This is one of those long ones, but on a topic like this, it's like, this is, I want you to have this as, I really wanted to have like a masterclass on the expression of anger. Coming into landing, repeat, you know, to yourself, anger is beautiful. She will only respect me and love me when I can finally speak an unshakable no, fueled by conscious, beautiful, sacred anger. My anger. Anger is an emotion setting. It's the emotion that sets a boundary, protecting what's true for me in the moment. That's what it is. It's sacred. It's beautiful. Coming into landing, get really clear. You know, set absolute intentions. You're going to cut the cycle of suppressing your anger, transforming it into frustration, which are the paper cuts that kills your woman's trust and respect of you, that comes out as aggression inevitably later on when you spear her. You're offensively attacking her when you see her as the ultimate wrongdoer of your life, the woman that doesn't respect your needs, doesn't love you, doesn't honor you, when in actual fact, you're the one that's not respecting and honoring your authentic self because you have learned not to speak to it. This is the point and purpose of this episode. Cut the habit of the cycle of frustration into aggression. Start in the first wave. Don't let the wave build to frustration and into a destructive tsunami. No, the first wave of anger, honor it. Speak to it. Speak your yes to your authentic self. Your emotional system is telling you a no because there's anger there. Set your no and open up the conversation to go into topic, but excluding that part that you really just see as a non-negotiable no. You are that important. Your anger is your most sacred emotion in this life because your only way, kingly brother, of truly loving and gifting yourself your full authentic expression, gifting your fullest music to your life, to yourself, to your wife, to your kids, and to the seven generations after you, is coming through your anger. Your self-love of your authentic self can only come through coming home and loving and honoring your anger and allowing that emotional guidance gift you deeper, deepening, amazing, expanding wisdom of, you know, who you truly are, who you always have been, and to bring that beauty, the beauty of your being into the world. This is going to be a core part of Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. Check a link in the podcast description to find out more about that training. You'll have high flame coaching, the support, the accountability to make sure that you've got that brotherhood like supporting you and making sure that you remain grounded and bringing your authentic self, no matter what the, you know, the feminine testing is going to be, or if there's any kickback from your woman, you're going to have that. Like after 4 months, you're going to be an absolute master of gifting your authentic self to yourself, to your woman, and to the world, because you're going to trust yourself and allow anger and have a safe expression of it that your woman will love. She'll love you, she'll respect, honor you, and she'll be fucking sexually turned on in a red hot way like you've never imagined. She's going to be wet with you, ready to be taken, yearning to be taken by you. Because why? You're finally scintillating with sexual energy because your authentic self is leading you in this world going forward. Why we do what we do here and invest such sacred time and energy into this. From my side, I honor your time and energy, you know, coming here to this digital campfire conversation and experience. Ultimately, why we do it. There's those seven generations that are coming after us. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.